اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يمه.
ويلكم يا مصطفى.
السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. ريسبكتد لسنرز اوف مركز صحابه, ذا فويس اوف اهل السنه والجماعه. ذا ديت توداي از ذا سكند اوف محرم 1446. We have our guest, and it is Special Investigator of Crime, and that is Mr. Mike Bolhase. Let's welcome him. Mr. Mike, good morning.
Morning. How's it, everybody? Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. It's been a long time. What's the latest, Mr. Mike Bolhase?
Well, I'm very happy with how the elections went. It went peaceful. The government and the authorities did a very, very good job. In the upcoming months, about 6 months before, making sure that the information out there is sufficient. It was done very professionally. There was proper crime prevention in place. In other words, they made it very, very clear that they would not stand for any form of involvement other than those that must just vote, not being influenced, no intimidation, no coercion or whatever. And it went very well through the public, the information via the intelligence and information infrastructures of South Africa. The police was also on a ready standby constantly. In all up ahead in those 6 months, it impressed a clear picture to everybody out there that the elections will be, you know, very well monitored, and it will go very well, and it will be very much monitored by all the authorities, and there will be zero tolerance. And that went very, very well afterwards as well for a couple of weeks. But unfortunately, as we suspected, after the elections was done and dusted, we have a good government, in my opinion, in place now that can make a difference. It's a better government. They are working together. They are working together with the authorities. There is some good changes in the policing. There's specialized units dealing with the extreme crimes, of which I will speak in a moment. And this all made a very great impact and a difference on our public. And I think there's a bit more of a trust and a bit more of a relationship, which is the most important, which I'll also mention later on as the solution. But unfortunately, once everything settled down and things are going the normal way, the criminals have escalated as usual, and crime is just up. And it's a big worry. And you know, if you look at the rise of serious violent crimes like the kidnappings and hijackings and the domestic violences and gang fights, I always say to people, you must consider the news daily. You must. You can trust our media. Our media is good. Let me tell you something about our media, you guys, everybody. If it's not for you, the public would not know what's going on. If we don't have this talk, people wouldn't know what's going on if they don't listen. And if we give advice and we give information, then you have nothing to go on. So it is important, people, to follow the news. You can trust our media. It's of the best in the world. Here and there, you might have some sensationalizing of information, but it's still information, and it's important. And if you read the latest month's media about all the subjects of serious crimes, especially cyber crime, serious economic crimes, and then serious violent crimes, which are the three compartments we are concentrating on, of which all other crimes is a part of. You know, whether it's the smallest crime, it falls under one of these three categories. If it's the biggest crime, it will fall under one of these categories. Then you will see that it has escalated immensely, and that is a concern. But the authorities do take note, the government do take note, and they are trying their best to do something about it. And we are going to, we always have supported, we always be involved. And we believe that the most important thing now is for the public to really, really give their, get involved. And when I mean involved, they must be positively paranoid. They must be on the lookout. They must report. They must whistleblow. And they must bring information. However, I understand the fear when you listen to me. And I understand the concern of police corruption. And I understand, especially informants that wants to know for a fact that the details won't be leaked out and nothing will happen to them. The same with whistleblowers, because that have been a problem in the past. Our country used to have one of the best intelligence and information infrastructures of many countries before many, many years ago, where informants, specialized, highly specialized informants. An informant is somebody that is prepared to fight crime, but not necessarily physically get involved, but by giving information and assisting those who can do the work and want to do the work, the crime fighting, in order to prevent crime. Remember, an informant is the man or woman that comes forward to an authority and says, listen, there's guns here, there's a plan here to rob a bank, there's a plan here to do a heist or a coup, or there is serious money laundering going on here, or this is happening in this municipality, or this is happening in this government section, like the water board one in Natal now. You know, if this is given in the beginning, you will never have all these cases in the news. You will never have these multi-millions into the billions of losses. You will never have these losses of life, et cetera, et cetera. And it used to work years and years ago. But I understand the informants and the intelligence out there, infrastructure's concern, and that is, who do we go to? Well, here's my answer. It is always important, if you have information, not to throw it away or leave it behind just because you don't have somebody to go to. You must find somebody. They must call you, Marcus, if they don't throw anybody. They must call Netwerk 24 if they don't trust anybody. They must just bring it out there. But the best way is to bring it out to an authority that you trust. Do you know your police station? Have you ever made the effort by just going, visiting them, having some coffee or tea with them, taking some food along and just sitting down, having a breakfast or a lunch or a dinner with them, spending a bit of time with them? You'll see their eyes and their body language wondering, why are you doing this? And then you can say, I don't want anything. I just want to know. How can I help? I just want to build a relationship so that I see you in the road, I can come to you. If you see me in the road, you can come to me. So that you know each other in the vicinity, in your community, that you can work together. This is how you will know which policeman is corrupt. A corrupt policeman shows his colors very quickly when he starts asking for money or favors. Then you know he's corrupt. And you must keep that as a record and information as well. And at a point, it needs to be exposed to the policeman or policemen that you have identified that is not corrupt. This takes a bit of time, and this takes effort from you. And it's everybody that should do this in a community with all their police stations. And then out of that community, there will be people that will rise up and is prepared and is intelligent in this and can work with information and assist in the authorities they have identified that is non-corrupt, so that they, the authorities in themselves, identify other authorities that is non-corrupt in the hawks or the specialized units or in government or municipalities. And then you have crime prevention, because then you know that these guys, or the information that you have brought since the inception of this crime, has been exposed to authorities that will do something about it. It's the only solution. There's no other solution. Every situation presently in South Africa with all these serious crimes that I've mentioned is after the fact. It means that the crimes are committed, the kidnapping has taken place, and then everybody jumps in and tries and find and help. But the kidnappers get their money, and they release the people or they kill them. The gangsters, after the fact, if the information gets to the authorities, there's a shooting here, it's already gone to the level of execution of that crime, not the planning of that crime. Then you realize how many guns there are, how many gangs there are. The same with the extreme domestic violences and rapes. Everything on serious violent crime cases nowadays has escalated. And what is interesting, if you have an overview of what goes on in the country, you will see that many of these crimes goes hand in hand. In other words, the kidnapper becomes the rapist, becomes the killer. He gets involved in hijacking. He gets involved in money laundering. He gets involved in cybercrime. He gets involved in everything. It's like they all three hold hands now, cybercrime, economic crimes, and violent crimes. And we have warned about this, that this would happen years ago, and it has now. So the criminals of today, say for instance, there's just 1% extreme criminals in our country out of about 80 million people here. It's still an enormous amount, but this 1% is so much smaller than the 80 million. But they hijack this country via fear and intimidation. You must remember, criminals in a community wants the community to be quiet, just to play along, or they want to extort that community because that's how they get their income. So if the criminals handles and controls the intelligence and information structures, which they do, because if you enter any of these big outside cities, they are warned. There's whistles going down. There's cell phone WhatsApps being sent when the authorities enter. And as I've said, unfortunately, there's a lot of police corruption involved as well. There could be even warnings from the very authorities that this and that and the other can happen. But all of this is possible to prevent if there's a real information informant infrastructure in South Africa that can warn the authorities ahead of time.
Thank you, Mr. Borges. I've just been making a few notes as well. One of the points that you rightfully and addressed it was that we should get to know our police. And I would just like to extend this and say that as well as our guards on our streets, get to know them and also try to build a sort of maintain a relation with them. So also one of the reasons, as you've mentioned, that we can investigate, are they sincere? As well, if they are sincere, then as long you are also maintaining that relationship, so they will come and stand out for you eventually. Mr. Bolles, before we carry on, I just want to ask you a question, and that is, last time we spoke, a few months ago, you advised us and I asked you about our masajid, our masjids here in Lanesia, and the car theft scenario that is still continuing till today, and we see it's ramping up within South Africa. Almost 66 cars are being stolen a day just in South Africa. And you gave us quite sound advice to say we must beef up the security, and this is what I've seen many people, many masjids, they have been allocating different security guards around the premises. Now, just recently, we found that someone placed a bomb at a masjid, and this took place, and it was around here in July. So what do we do in such a situation? Okay, the police acted bravely there, and they quickly investigated and got to the crux, to the roots of the problem. But in future, how can we even prevent this car coming in and placing a bomb at a particular place, a masjid or whatever it is? The security is supposed to act, but they somehow they got past all of this and even past the CCTV. How do we protect ourselves from this?
Well, thanks for saying all that, because that's also the listeners must listen carefully. And thanks for reiterating what I said. Yes, security guards is obviously part of authorities. So any authority, when I mention authorities, it means the police, which is the top structure of authority in our country, obviously under the government. This includes the government, the relationship with the government, with your municipality. So what I've explained there in building a relationship is with all the authorities in your community. You must go and do the same lunch, dinner, and chat and talk and meet and greet and build the relationship with from the people working with you in your gardens, in your businesses, your neighbors, your neighborhood watch, your security, your local police station, your local government. If there is no, as I've said, there's about 80 million people in our country. If just 79 million stand together against crime, there's no way that the criminals will take the upper hand. So information is the solution. The same with this. It's very rare that there's bombings in South Africa, and it draws extreme attention. And when this starts, we will see a rise of that, because remember, crime, when a crime works, the other criminals will jump in and do it as well. They'll copy it. So crime begets crime. And if a crime is committed and they can get away with it and can commit it, it will escalate. So those two things are of extreme importance. But it's very seldom that this happens. And these would be highly sophisticated syndicates or criminals that have a specific crime that they have planned carefully and then executed. The bottom line there, once again, is to beef up the security on the level of that this could happen in future. And we all know this, that this can. So a security should have at least one in their unit, one or two bomb experts, extremely qualified people. And then security should also, and police in an area, expect that from stealing a cell phone to a handbag to hijacking a car to kidnapping to arson, destroying a building, to extreme riots, to bombing can happen. You cannot have a police unit anywhere in our country that is not prepared for any of this, because it can happen. We have not so much political unrest anymore, and we praise God for that, but it takes nothing in the blink of an eye for a group to start, or a cult, or a specific part of a political group or a religious group or whatever. Any group can just decide, listen, this is now how we're going to solve stuff. We're going to kill people left, right, and center. We're going to place bombs. We're going to, you know, it's like a zeitgeist that takes them over, and they do it and bring their message and stamp down a reputation and a name via extreme violence. It can happen. Mm. It has happened all over the world. It can happen here. By the grace of God, it hasn't. We have seen recently the military camp with the Libyans. That is an ongoing investigation. But that could have been that. I'm not saying that it is. And by the grace of God, once again, there were whistleblowers and informants that came forward and saw it. But they also came in midway. They should have right from the beginning exposed the community there, this information, so that it could be thoroughly investigated right from the beginning, from its inception, in order to prevent this whole debacle that we now found ourselves in, which has pulled in. Well, I'm happy that it happened, because it just got spotlight on the government and the authorities that work with immigration and that work with SIRA, Security Regulation Board, and other authorities, state safety, etc., police intelligence, crime intelligence, and military intelligence. All of these units should work hand in hand, and they must themselves, as I have explained, have these informant structures in place. It used to be like that, as I've said, and this would have made a huge difference in this bombing situation and in any how shall we call it, the highest level of threat to our country and our communities. Mm. So in areas where people pick up the slightest of a just a person talking in this direction, it should be followed through, and it should be mentioned to an authority that you have identified that you do totally trust. And once again, we offer ourselves there. If we get a call from somebody in Lanesia saying, Mike, you know, we've had this chat, and this guy spoke loosely of this, that, and the other, we're not going to rush out baseball bats and beat the guy. We're going to gather intelligence. We're going to gather information. Because you get people that just talks. He maybe saw a movie last night, and now he thinks he's Rambo, and he just talks a lot of nonsense. Or he might be under the influence of liquor or drugs. So you get people that just talks. But everything starts with a thought, and then with a talk, and then a combination of others that join, and then there's the whole planning and eventually the execution of crimes.
Yes.
It just doesn't happen randomly. A criminal doesn't wake up in the morning and just go out and do a kidnapping. It's proper planning. Any unless it's a very small opportunistic crime, as there's a form of planning and then an execution of it.
We've had many other topics to discuss, but I think this topic on human trafficking, we'll have to arrange it another time, because as you've been speaking, Mr. Bolesa, I've got other questions that have just come to mind now. And this question here is about, with regards to our areas as well, we see that there are people, beggars coming in. Now, even in Islam and many other, it's a human nature that you can't just chase away someone. But what we are finding is, especially as at our masjids, that you find them coming in, and these people, sometimes they can serve as intelligence for the criminals. And they are, meantime, they're coming and asking for money, but they have a hidden agenda. So what do we do? Because we cannot chase them away, because that may then, if they were intelligence, they just sincerely coming in asking for money, that might raise a threat to us as well. So how do we then balance the situation?
There a proper investigation is necessary. You cannot just immediately just jump and give any beggar or anybody that has a need just anything. First of all, there should be in every area in your communities, and this is for everybody in the whole of South Africa, because there's a lot of beggars and there's a lot of people next to the road everywhere that are extremely poor, that has lost everything and that really needs help. But you need to always do a bit of an investigation. So I have quite a few rules of this, but I'll run down to them quickly. If you see a beggar and he's smoking, you chase him away. Mm. You say to him, listen, stop smoking. And then I will help you. If he then comes back and he stops smoking, then you get his information, get his ID, you get all his information, and you find out his history and his background. You need to do this, and then you can register him in the community. There should be a group in the community, either the security or some homeowners association or the church or whatever. There should be a group that keeps proper information of these people that are being helped. So you take a proper front photo from the front, one from the left, one from the right side, and it's always good to check out the fingerprints at the police station. Maybe this is a wanted person just hiding under the name of a beggar on the street, but in the meantime he's running from the law. We've seen this many a times. So check him out at the police station. If this is a criminal and there's ill intent, by this time this person would never come back. So it is a sit-down. Bring all the beggars, all of them together. All of them that are drinking and smoking, chase them away. Harshly, put your foot down. There's no other way, because the biggest addiction in the world is cigarettes and liquor. Mm. Then the others follow, scheduled medicine and gambling and drugs. And that includes drugs as well, obviously, because those are the three things that many beggars are involved with, and prostitution. So you know, you need to say what you mean and mean what you say. But if I'm in my community, I have, say, 50 beggars, this is the routes that I will take. Half of them would disappear. Once I start doing, you know, the fingerprints and the photos and the background checks, there's maybe eventually five left. And then you have those that you, and then the word spreads and they will stay away. And then those that are looked after is also on a temporary basis, because you start reintegrating them back in society, you give them medical help, you give them assistance, and you give them work so that they can at least earn their food. Now, I can tell you, if this template, and this is what I've said here, is practiced in a whole country, you won't have a bigger situation. Because those beggars that have left will be either caught if they are criminals or identified, or they will step up to rules and regulations. The problem with many a beggars that we have interviewed, we have found that they make quite a lot of money, and they go to the extremes to extort people. We've seen these videos. They would make as if they've got no legs or even lost an arm, and meantime it's just tucked away, and they would do the, it's like a extreme cripple walk. And then when you check it out or later observe them, then they walk normally. And they drink, and they smoke, and they're involved with other sorts of crime. They will steal your handbag, or they will scour an area and steal your cell phone. And yes, they can gather intelligence and information. And if a beggar has a cell phone, that's also an extreme red flag. Because if a beggar has a cell phone, how can he afford and have a cell phone and then still ask for food? So their cell phone needs to be explained. Could be that it's a very cheapy and it's just to maybe be contacted by the family to see if they're okay, but it can be checked out, because you take the cell phone and you see what's the contents and the information on the cell phone, who's been called, what photos have been taken. You know, it is not wrong of you to be critical and suspicious in the beginning. You should, in any way, anything in South Africa, I call it the buy and sell project. You must always do a proper, thorough identification, evaluation, and a risk analysis. You must do a proper investigation. You must solve the situation, and you must prevent a situation. Those are the 5-6 points that are of extreme importance, whether a person is the richest person or the poorest on the planet. You must always do it, because that's when you will identify the real intent of a person.
Mr. Bolles, our time is up. We appreciate these 5 steps which you've given us. And slowly, slowly, I say to the listeners that start to implement it, that you just see, you have this investigative mindset. It will save us, you coming out of your house, just check what's happening around you before you just come out. So this year, yep. And we appreciate you alerting us, waking us up to all of this that may happen, and to prevention, as they say, prevention is better than cure. We appreciate your time, and we hope to have you soon. We want to speak about human trafficking soon. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.